Privilege is an uncomfortable thing to acknowledge, confront, and unpack. And the hardest privilege to address seems to be white privilege. The hard truth is that if you have white skin, you have white privilege. The bad news, I guess, is that you can't change that. It's a fact that exists whether you like it or not, acknowledge it or not, do something about it or not. The good news is that we can use our white privilege for good, which is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Ready? Let's get started. Hello, hello. It has been a year, am I right? 2020 feels like it's got us by the throat and it just will not let go. I was thinking recently about an astrologer that I met with earlier this year that said that 2020 would be a time of great, like, social upheaval. That was the word that she used, which is a little scary at the time, obviously very apt. And she also said that we'd kind of see, like, old systems crumbling so that new ones could be built. And we're just over halfway through the year here, and whether you believe in astrology or psychics or whatever or not, I feel like her reading was pretty spot on. Promises for change have been handed down. You know, there have been pledges to defund the police, which I still don't really know what that means. Cities are vowing to cut police budgets and invest in communities and mental health and social work instead. And I will be over here waiting to see who follows through and who's just talking to talk, like waiting until this all blows over. But it does feel a little bit like we are at least moving in the direction of progress. And these changes and calls to action and protests and riots have sparked so much change already. And what I hope is a genuine desire to do and be better and a lot of transformation in my fellow white women. So one of the biggest things that I've seen popping up around all this is conversations about white privilege. And I'm realizing just how many white women, especially, aren't aware that we have white privilege. And in some cases, some people aren't aware that white privilege exists at all. So that is what I want to define, unpack, and examine today. Because understanding white privilege and then working through the shame and the guilt that might come up from sort of waking up to your privilege are the first steps in really being able to use your white privilege to help instead of hurt. So what is white privilege? A lot of people, you know, myself included, when I first learned about this word, is we hear the word privilege and we think that it like only applies to us if our life has been easy. You know, you have the silver spoon crowd and you think, oh, well, if I've struggled or whatever, then this doesn't apply to me. But that's not really the case. I mean, when I was first introduced to this term in 2015, I balked hard. I got mad. You know, my life hasn't been easy. I've suffered emotional abuse, assault, depression, anxiety, fat bias, my own self-loathing, like all these things. So I sort of scoffed at privilege. You know, it was just another thing that somebody was using to try to make me feel bad about being white, which is a thing that I can't control, right? I mean, that was my thought process back then, which is cringeworthy to me now. But truthfully, the fact that I thought this way only a few years ago is actually really, really helpful to me now in terms of having these conversations with other people, because I still remember so clearly what it was like to think those things and believe those things. And now I can use that information really to guide how I communicate with other people. So someone explained to me that white privilege doesn't mean my life has always been easy. It just means that the color of my skin hasn't been making it harder. This is the definition that I see popping up sort of all around the internet at this point. And I love this definition because it just sort of sums it all up in the best way possible. And there are, of course, other types of privilege. Once you kind of wake up to white privilege, you're like, oh yeah, so there's also cis privilege if you're not transgender. There's also thin privilege. So Thin privilege doesn't mean you've never been bullied. I think a lot of people have experienced bullying, especially women and girls. It just means that your weight isn't making it harder to like receive medical care or get jobs or get life insurance and things like that. We also have male privilege, Christian privilege, especially in the United States, hetero privilege, ableist privilege, and on, like the list can kind of go on and on. If the society is kind of built for you, boil it all the way down, it really is built for white people, white men especially, then you have privilege. And this definition applies to all these cases. Having white male privilege doesn't mean that your life has always been easy. It just means that being white and being a male has not made it harder. But I'm getting off topic a little bit. So what does white privilege look like? I think once people kind of hear the term white privilege and they get a definition, they're kind of like, oh, okay, well, how does that actually show up in the world? And white privilege is when Brock Turner is actively caught raping an unconscious woman and gets 3 months in jail, while Albert Wilson is sentenced to 12 years and a lifetime of probation for kissing a 17-year-old in a bar who told him she was over 21. Brock is white, Albert is not, and Brock throughout his entire trial is, they keep talking about how he was a swimming star and all this other stuff about him, and his dad, I think, talks to the judge and is like, why should he be punished for a lifetime for, quote, 20 minutes of action? Whereas 12 years in prison and a lifetime of probation for kissing a 17-year-old in a bar where she should have been 21 anyways. White privilege is when white men are arrested and they use nice photos of them in the media, or, you know, as in the case of Brock Turner, they used old school pictures of him. While when black men are arrested, they use their mugshots, either mugshots from previous arrests, because of course we have to parade out their any sort of past criminal history, or the mugshot from the arrest for the thing that they're being charged with. White privilege is when white people can now profit off the selling of marijuana, which has put black and brown people in jail for decades, and many of them still in jail as we speak, even though white people have been making a hefty profit off of the legalization of marijuana for a while. It's when white shooters are called troubled or disturbed. You see that one a lot too. I think the guy that went in and shot up the church in South Carolina, definitely a hate crime. They called him disturbed. They didn't call him a terrorist, but they call brown shooters terrorists. When white people commit crimes, they're talked about in terms of making like one bad decision or having had like a momentary lapse of judgment, whether or not they have a history of bad acts. But there's always, always, always a storyline or a possibility of redemption for white criminals. Whereas black people who commit crimes have their, like I said, their entire history, criminal history put on display as if that alone is a justification for their sentence or their punishment or their death. I saw a ton of this during George Floyd, and you see this all the time, but the most recent one in my memory is George Floyd. And people were talking about how he's a criminal and he was suspected for using like a fraudulent bill or whatever. Okay, but using a fraudulent bill at a gas station or a convenience store or wherever is not a death sentence. That's not something that should result in anyone's death. And so white privilege, again, is seeing a police officer not feeling afraid. It's seeing your race widely represented in books, movies, TV shows, history. It's being able to buy your children dolls that look like them, easily buy your children dolls that look like them. It's opening up a box of crayons and finding that the flesh-colored crayon looks like you. It's buying a box of Band-Aids and knowing that it'll match your skin tone fairly well. It's being able to check out of watching or reading the news and not seeing any noticeable difference in your life. This one's super important. This is the one that I think most people don't realize is a privilege. And so I like to bring it up every time I see somebody say this. Being able to say, the world is really negative. I'm just going to stop reading the news for a while. Is privilege. Because I said this way back in the 2016 election, if I just stopped watching the news and stopped listening to all the things happening and going on with Donald Trump, would my life noticeably be different? No, Of course not. I mean, I'm a white woman. I'm fairly well off. My life would not noticeably change. There isn't a single policy at this point that is immediately affecting my life. The same cannot be said for people of color, because there have been many, many policies enacted over the last 4 years that have negatively impacted them almost immediately. So being able to say, I'm just going to not watch the news, and then know that you're not really going to miss out on anything, is in of itself privileged. It's not being generalized or stereotyped because of my skin color. You know, it's not being seen as angry if I have emotion. It's not being followed around a mall or a store because someone thinks you might steal something. White privilege means not having your hairstyle or your cultural dress be seen as unprofessional or worn as a Halloween costume. Typically, you're not having white culture seen as a Halloween costume, like something to just dress up as for a night to pretend to be something else. White privilege is just really born from a very long, long history of systemic racism, slavery, oppression, and colonization. We have created this system by keeping people of color down and making sure that we're the ones on top. We have created a system of white privilege and white supremacy, but of white privilege, because that's what we're talking about today. Like, we personally didn't create this system, right? I didn't sit down last week and go, oh, hey, I'm just going to make sure that I'm the one that's always on top. This is decades, centuries in the making, but we can do something with the system that we have inherited that is constructive and that creates change. And so that's what we're going to talk about, is how we can use our white privilege to help. Because you can use this thing that you have no control over, that you didn't create, that just sort of happened to you, and you can use that to do something about the shit that's going on in the world. So as a white person, you typically are listened to more than people of color. So if you're in a group of women, and we're going to use this example of solely a group of women just to eliminate the male element for simplicity, and a white woman speaks up, she's more likely to be listened to and taken seriously than a woman of color. Odds are that when you walk into a room, people will automatically look to you as a person of authority over women of color without even realizing it. And this is microaggressions. Like, this is what a microaggression is. This is what an unconscious bias is that you see two women in a room, you'll kind of automatically assume that the white woman is more experienced or the authority figure over the black woman. This is what white privilege is, which means that you can use your white privilege to hold space and make room for black and brown people. Your awareness is the opportunity to sort of elevate those marginalized voices, especially marginalized voices that your community may not naturally have access to or think to include. So if you are going to a talk and you realize that there's only one black woman on the panel for your city or whatever, and she's there to talk about diversity and inclusion, you can reach out and you can say, hey, what about this person who's an indigenous person, or you know, whatever. You have the opportunity to bring those unconscious biases, or maybe in some cases conscious biases, to the forefront and say something about it and make a stink about it almost. Like, that's kind of almost what we're talking about, is just you're making it a deal. You're making it a big deal, because you're not going to be looked at as angry or, you know, making something out of nothing or whatever as someone else. A few more examples are, if you're in the room and someone interrupts a black person or talks over them, you can use your privilege to interrupt, to take the floor back and kind of throw the conversation back to the person who was originally interrupted. Something like, excuse me, she was making some really interesting points. I'd like to hear what she has to say. You can step in when you see a police officer harassing a black person. I've seen several examples shared of this, including, you know, make a really big deal of collecting their badge numbers and recording the conversation and texting someone about what's going on. Or you can just simply stand there and ask the officers why they're treating this person one way when they didn't treat you that way, and you're both standing right there. You can speak up when you hear someone say something racist, when you witness a microaggression, or when discrimination happens. Equally, you can apologize if you ever do those things. This is just baked into who you are because of the culture that you've grown up in. Everyone has unconscious biases just because of how we were raised. I have unconscious biases for sure. And so when I catch myself in that split second, I always am willing to acknowledge that I just fucked up and then do something differently. And you have to be willing to do that as well. You need to give credit for the work and emotional labor of people of color. Don't assume, you know, like kind of the responsibility that you created something when you didn't. If you were inspired by a person of color, if you took an idea from, if you collaborated with, whatever, you need to make sure that that person's emotional labor and expertise is acknowledged. And you need to recognize when you are centering yourself by making the issue or the topic about you, and then be able to step back, learn from, and amplify voices of color. This is really common, especially when you're super new to this kind of work, is to center it around you, because you feel shame, you feel guilt, you feel uncomfortable when you realize these things at first. And so the sort of natural human reaction is to go, oh my God, I feel so terrible. I'm so sorry. These kinds of things start coming out of your mouth and you start saying them. I've seen a ton of this happen in the last few weeks. And the reason that this is not constructive is because you're just making this about you. If you're only talking about how terrible you feel and how sorry you are, and how you wish this had never happened, and blah, 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 you're not really helping the situation. You're just talking about how you feel. So it's okay to process those emotions. You just don't need to process those emotions around other people of color. Go process those emotions with your white friends. That's what I do. I still have some of those emotions where I'm like, shit, I said something terrible and I feel really bad. I'm not posting that in front of my friends who are Black and brown women and things like that. I'm taking that to my circle of white friends to talk about it there, because that's the more appropriate place to deal with that stuff. Using your white privilege isn't about being the center of the situation. It's about getting the attention of the room by using your privilege and then handing the mic off, so to speak, to someone else. And then it's about calling that attention back over and over and over again. Because listen, these are learned behaviors. 9 times out of 10, I would say most people don't even realize that they're doing this. They don't realize that they're doing it. And so if you can be conscious about it and call it back over and over and over again, you're offering the opportunity to create awareness around what's happening so that other people can do the same thing. Because there's an inherent feeling of shame and guilt when you start to recognize white privilege and everything that you have because of it. I experienced this. I know most of my friends experienced this in the beginning. It's just, and these are feelings you have to grapple with and deal with your white friends, as I said, because you can't do anything about what's already happened, but you can use this new awareness for good. Use it to amplify Black and brown voices, decenter yourself and your experiences from the issues at hand, and learn. Always, always learn, and then take that learning and do better. That's it for me today. Bye, y'all. Thanks for listening to the Feminist Visionaries Podcast. Come back next week as we find new ways to smash the patriarchy, make more money, and create more impact. For in-depth resources and information on today's episode, and to learn more about the show, as well as our parent company, Inspired Solutions Co., visit us at feministvisionaries.com.
This has been a production of Twin Flame Studios.